This is the meeting of the Communications Committee for the 8th of February. Michael Deaker is in the chair. All councillors apart from Councillor Neil are present. The first item is confirmation of the agenda. Are there any last minute items anybody wants to add? I regard that as confirmed in that case. Does anybody wish to declare a conflict of interest? There is no public forum. The minutes of our last meeting on the 23rd of November last year, attached, and that's the next item of business, and they are open for discussion. Is there any discussion of those minutes? Would anybody care to move that they be confirmed?
Well,
thanks, Councillor Bell. Is there a seconder? Councillor Noon. Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Which takes us to the single paper on the agenda, which is the report from the Director of Stakeholder Engagement, Caroline Rowe. And that report has four sections: water quality, water quantity, enviro schools, and regular, or it is now regular, projected events calendar. Let's take them in that order. And there are a significant number of items under the heading of water quality, including field days, workshops, and presentations, on which there are brief reports. I'll pause there and see if anybody has any questions or comments about any of that material reported by the Director under the heading of water quality. There appear to be none, so we'll move on to water quantity. And there are several items reported on there, particularly the meetings to do with deemed permit renewals. Are there any comments or questions, Councillor Scott?
Yeah, I think it's under water quality, actually, but I just wanted to say, you know, well done. It refers to environmental risk assessments proposed to the compliance plan or under development. And as part of this, this is under Rural Water Quality Advisory Group, 15th November, and it says that as part of this, we're advising with Environment Southland staff about their field activity to take on board the learnings from their experiences, noting that the water plan equivalent is different to that of Otago. But at the end of the day, on the ground, you know, we need to be doing similar and same things, regardless of the differences in the perspective of the plan. And I just congratulate that we're actually getting out and about. And the last few days I've been in Canterbury, and I'm hoping that we're doing the same in Canterbury as well, and that we're all learning from our experiences. We've got similar problems and challenges. Thank you.
I'll come to you in a minute, Councillor Richard. Councillor Scott has just reminded me, or I've just reminded myself, that at our previous meeting you did ask Councillor Scott for more detail about our field meetings, if you like, and our workshop days, presentations, in terms of how many people were there and how effective were they. And I think you'll have noted in the Director's report we've taken several big strides to meeting that wish. We haven't gone the whole journey yet because there are a number of times there when the number of attendees is not reported on, and I'm sure we're all curious to know. And I did have an informal discussion with Mrs. Rowe just a couple of days ago about how we evaluate the effectiveness of those events. I was thinking of a number of public service agencies that I'm well aware of who always, as a matter of course, after any workshop or field day, hand out a single-page evaluation form and ask people, did this meet your expectations? What did we do right? What did we do wrong? How could we have got it better? And I'm encouraged to hear from the Director that there are steps in that direction. Do you want to comment any more on that, Caroline?
Yeah, well, we do that for large field days or workshops that we as ORC organise. What we need to do is think about how we could translate that across into partner agencies' events and still evaluate the ORC component of that as part of that and work with those partners to do that. So whether that's done in isolation of the wider event or whether we can do that in partnership with the event itself, we need to do some thinking around that and we will.
Okay. Now, Councillor Woodhead, then Morton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on water quality too. I'm just interested in the South Otago and North Otago Dairy Working Group's work. And so clearly, it's something we've been aware of for a while. It's been evolving, that relationship, and it's essentially industry support for people that are struggling around the compliance side of things. I'd just be interested in the director's response on how that's going, and it's quite a change on the relationship that's been there in the past around those sorts of activities, and we've seen, you know, a Dairy NZ type support, but this looks more like fellow farmers and the wider industry getting in behind and working with dairy farmers to ensure their compliance.
No, I think it still is the industry that is referred, but there is certainly an element of peer support in there, and they're hearing from local people, you know, that, hey, you should really get this sorted out. It's going really well in North Otago. South Otago take-up's been a little bit slower, and that's, I think, really around building trust with that community, but I think we certainly are making some strides in that area as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd certainly support what Councillor Deaker said about getting feedback and building on that. And, you know, I'm aware how much effort goes into some of this communication and field days. And when you look at the numbers, the turnout, they're moderate, so they're not, relatively low. And I'm always interested in a sort of structure, so on what basis are you sort of building a plan for field days? Is it an ad hoc response, or are you taking more of a proactive position? Is a council taking more of a proactive position in determining who are the groups that we need to meet with? And I just wondered if you'd like to comment on that.
So the approach that we've taken is a third-party approach. So we work in with the industry bodies to support their programs. So, for example, the Beef and Lamb LEP programs. So we work through a calendar of events for supporting them in their events, and the same with Dairy NZ and other industry groups. Where there's not industry groups is where we will step in and say, hey, there's a gap here. So the likes of the Forestry Forum we did last year and the Contractors Forum. So we tend to try and fill the gaps that industry aren't providing. It is really difficult to get farmers out to events. So we find if we're running them and industry's running them, we both suffer from lower numbers. So we're trying to work with them.
Thank you. Councillor Lane.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mine's a communication-related question, but it's possibly for the Chief. But is it normal practice for the Otago Regional Council to circulate letters that are sent to, and if I use the deemed permit, the deemed permit forum that's been talked about in this report. So my understanding is that the holders of those permits have just received a letter. Now those letters may trigger some feedback. I just use that one as an example, there may be plenty of other examples. But it would be useful for the elected arm to actually have a copy of that letter for the information, because whether it's that particular issue or other issues that are raised, you get a phone call and a constituent may have a concern in the letter, and it would help us to be slightly more on the front foot to be able to respond maybe in a more effective or efficient way.
Good question, Councillor. No? Mr. Bodecker?
So to answer the first part of your question, Councillor, yes, it is normal for us to directly engage with, in this case, deemed permit holders. We engage with consent holders around the nature of their consent, so they're sort of less form-like. But certainly, if we want to engage with people, and we've got a subset or a group, then we will mail them. So your request for a copy of those letters is not unreasonable.
And I suppose the next part of that, would that be actioned in the future,
yeah.
or do we need to actually ask for them case by case?
No, I mean we need to make sure that you're informed of those letters. I mean, I don't know if Mr. McRae would like to comment, Chairman.
Well, just before I ask for that, and Councillor Roberts, I've noted your request to speak as well. Councillor Noonan, at our last meeting, the very last decision we made, and it was carried by this committee, that prior to announcement, all elected members be informed of any decisions or pronouncements by the chairman, deputy chairman, or chief executive, especially those elected members within the ward to which the announcement / decisions directly apply. It seems to me the question you're asking is covered by that decision, and we shouldn't therefore have to ask the chief executive to reassure us that it will be actioned. Councillor Woodhead. No, it wasn't you, it was Councillor Robertson. Easily confused.
So easily. I was just reflecting on that, and I guess at times if it's private correspondence to a consent holder, that would be different from if it was, say, a field day, and we have discussed that before, and I think Councillor Scott actually raised that point about whether councillors could be informed of those types of events, and we agreed that they would. So we have talked about that before. I just wanted to say, under the quantity part there, and reflecting on some of the conversation before, it's great to see all of these individual groupings and the continuing support. And just in answer to Councillor Lawton's question before about whether it's targeted, our engagement as well, it's certainly very targeted in the quantity field, where we've prioritised sub-catchments and catchment groupings to work with. And then Councillor Scott talking about how useful it is to get together with other areas and whether it's inter-regional, but for these groups, I've been working together, which is the first step amongst their neighbours and their sub-catchments. But it's great to see that we have got an upcoming forum as well, which will bring them together and they can share ideas, and that's going to be really valuable. So really, really pleased to see that coming, and I think we'll get a lot more traction as well amongst those groups after that forum. So just want to encourage staff. There's been a lot going on over this period. Might have felt like a holiday period for some of us, but for staff, I don't think it has been. Thank you.
Thanks, good positive stuff, Councillor Robertson. Now, Mr. McRae, Mr. Bodecker suggested I invite you to comment as well on this issue. Did you want to say anything?
Well, just to put some detail on that particular one, that was a plan change mail out to deemed permit holders. And yeah, we'll just circulate a copy of that, those sort of generic mail out to councillors as well.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
That's great. The next item on the agenda, number 3, is Enviro Schools. I remind you, this isn't necessarily a council activity, but we do host the organisation, as I'm sure you know. And there's some interesting stuff in this little report too. Example, the $10,000 capacity building grant received from Toimata, which I've never heard of before. Mrs. Rowley, do you want to comment on any aspect of the Enviro Schools report?
I'm happy to take it as read, but yes, Toimata is the national body that governs Enviro Schools, and it's a really great boost for the facilitators who haven't had some professional development in this area for a while. So it will go towards professional development for them, but also some of our lead teachers within the region.
Questions or comments? Councillor Hope.
Through the chair, I just want to say, when talking to the lady last year who was employed for Enviro Schools, she did make one comment that there is actually no Enviro Schools in North Otago. So that's something that I think that we could probably work on. It's quite a, you know, quite an area if you think about it. Oamaru, all that way, there's no Enviro Schools. Not near at all. So I think if we can try and have of something that we can sort of plug through there. That would be great. Keep that up.
Thank you.
If I can make a suggestion through the chair, just make a suggestion that perhaps Peter and I can talk to Waitaki District Council informally initially, and then this council could decide that they wanted to submit to their annual plan, or else signal it for a consideration topic for their long-term plan next year. But certainly happy to start that with an informal conversation with Waitaki District Council, who would be the logical funder of the facilitator, and then council could decide if they want to do something formal with that down the track.
I'll move then to the fourth section of the agenda, which is general public awareness activity. And there are a series of reports there with our usual summaries of electronic and social media activities. There's some spectacular growth statistics in there. Are there any comments about that section? But my personal favourite piece of this whole agenda is 4.7.2. Tucked away in there is a phrase in parentheses, hashtag love relief. I think this is an absolutely top quality piece of work devised by a relatively new staff member to encourage activities along the length of the lease in Dunedin City. And I note that the activity begins in less than a week on the 14th of February and runs through to the 20th of March. When will we get more details on this, Mrs. Rowe?
Yeah, so just an update to that timeline. We are going to kick off the comms next week, but the trail itself we have pushed out, given that the flood protection work has started a little bit later than we expected. So that's going to be kicking off Otago anniversary day, which will allow us to run it through the school holidays, which we think would be a good time for parents to take their kids out. We've just got a couple more agencies, organisations that we just want to flag this with, and then I'm happy to get Charlotte, the staff member that's responsible for this project, to send out an update to councillors if that's loaded up for next committee round.
I think when you see the detail, you'll be as impressed by this proposal as I am.
I have a copy I can leave in the other room.
Good.
It's an A3 for people to
look. Excellent. That and all the other Section 4 items. Are there any questions about any of those? Or comments? Yes, Councillor Brown.
Just back to water quality. Sorry, I missed out before. I just want to report that with the North Otago Dewey Working Group, it is quite active, and there have been issues in North Otago this year with the wet spring, and just prior to Christmas, Mr McLean came up and spoke to the Dewey Working Group, and we also had a meeting organised at the Lower Otago Golf Club, which I chaired, and looking at some of the issues that have cropped up due to the wet spring. So the meeting went very well, and I had a couple of phone calls afterwards. I think it really did clarify the air, and I thank Mr McLean for the good performance he put on the day. I think he got everyone home. Everyone went home pretty happy, so I'll just report that.
Okay, good. Thank you, Councillor Brown. That sounds very good. Anything else under Section 4? Councillor Hope.
Through the Chair, can we just make sure in future, if we have anything like 4.6, it's the Passenger Transport Community Consultation. This was great, but I think we also left out a very big area, which was Mosgiel. I went in to see the head librarian to talk to her about this, and they actually came and picked up some leaflets from here. It's a huge area in Mosgiel. 30% and more are over the age of 65. They use the buses. We need to just bear in mind next time, please, can we have some information that's actually out at Mosgiel? It's a massive, massive area, and it was missed out. The time they got it, they only probably had 2 or 3 days to get the bits in, and they did make the point that, look, there was two things here. Not everybody has internet. We might think they do, but they don't. The number of times that they photocopy papers out there for this in different parts of the ORC has been incredible. And it is surprising. You would think that, wouldn't you? About 30% over 65. but that's not quite true when it comes to communication, no internet, that sort of thing. Please can I have it in mind and that we really make an effort. It's a massive area. It's a really wonderful library. I can't wait to have more of our information in there, and it's going to be great when we have it. But this was a big opportunity that we didn't probably quite capitalise on. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Hope. And I have passed on to the Director the comments you've been making in the last few weeks, which have been extraordinarily helpful, about the potential for communications by us provided by city venues, particularly libraries. And like you, as in terms of Mosgiel, I've been in the Dunedin Public Library recently for meetings, and it's always quite staggering how many people are in there every day. And I haven't immediately seen any sign that we're offering them our information. And I don't think there'd be an issue, but the Director has assured me that she'll be talking to the city about developing that relationship and that potential for us. But thank you, Councillor Hope, because you started the whole process.
Add to that, I mean, that's applicable to other districts as well, so I'll have a chat to see if we can get stuff into as many libraries around the region as we can.
Sorry, that was my mistake.
That's okay.
Anything else in the Section 4 part of the report? We move then to the stakeholder engagement event calendar, which is the last page and a half or so, the last page. Any questions about that? Thank you. Would somebody therefore care to move the recommendation that this report from the Director is noted?
Excuse me. Sorry. Could I just interrupt and go back for a wee minute? There was something I just wanted to point out. If we go back to 4.7 Engineering, the Lower Clutha Flood Protection and Drainage Dropping Scheme, I went to that and it was actually very good. But there was a couple of things we picked up which were really vital. It might sound silly, but it's not. That's an area where they do a lot of dairy, so there's morning and afternoon shifts. We probably would have capitalised and gained a lot more if we perhaps had the two drop-in sessions. One in the morning at Paratoi, and the other one, coupling with Councillor Wood here, help me here, on the other side of the river, but we just had that a little bit wrong. And they were very, very good. The dairy farmers and everybody at the meeting just politely pointing out, look, we could probably get a few more people if we just altered our times. So that's just something to think about when you've got operations like dairy farmers. But a really good session, and I would say most people probably stayed for 40 minutes. Great plans, great lot of aerials, you know, you could have your say. It was fantastic, but it's just something we noted that we would probably have more just due to the milking times. So I think maybe next time stage one in Paratoa and one in the other area. But again, it's just gone out of my head. But very well, worthwhile, and everyone was very positive about the ORCs. That was lovely to see. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hope, again. I'll move from the chair that the Director's report be noted. Is there a seconder? Councillor Wood. Is there any discussion? Thank you to the Director for all that comprehensive material. Thank you to all of you. I declare the meeting closed at 9:25.